Good morning, Oak Hill Missionary Baptist Church.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody out this morning. Man, I can't wait till we get this stuff over with and we can have our choir back. I'm missing the choir, I'll tell you. Turn with me to page number 167 and let's get started. We got some special stuff this morning and I know Brother Sam's got a good message for us. Page 167.
I saw a wayward traveler in tattered garments clad, and struggling up the mountain, it seemed that he was sad. His back was laden heavy, his strength was almost gone, yet he shouted as he journeyed, deliverance will come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. I saw him in the evening, the sun was sinking low. He'd overcome the mountain and reach the vale below. He saw the golden city, his everlasting home, and he shouted loud, Hosanna, deliverance will come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. It seems I hear the angels around the throne so grand, they're shouting glad Hosannas, we've reached the promised land. When we have reached that city, our race on earth we've run. We'll all shout loud, Hosanna, deliverance has come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear.
Well, good morning. Good to be here. And if you were outside yesterday and looked out, the haze, I guess, that sandstorm from the Sahara or wherever it was at was invading us. Yesterday afternoon, we were looking back to the west at the sunset, and it was just really weird. But this morning, I guess, I looked outside, and it felt better, and the wind was kind of blowing out of the west, southwest, and it's a little clearer, so hopefully it'll be a better day today. They did have some warnings out for air pollution yesterday, and I guess that's what it was about. So today's a better day, and the sun is shining, and it's good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
See our smiling faces behind masks. You guys are going to have to take a Sharpie and paint me a smile on the outside of the mask. Okay, so I'm looking at your smile through the mask. So come join with us if you get a chance, if you're watching this on Facebook or however you're seeing it, and come be a part of us. We still have room for social distancing and all that stuff, and we miss you. We are glad to be able to get back together in our limited capacities, and everybody's washing their hands, and most everybody's wearing their mask. Not everybody, but most people are. So do the best we can. We'll get through this through the grace of God. Mm-hmm. A few announcements this morning. All right, this morning it'll be I used to say the plate will be passed twice. We don't pass the plate anymore. It's on the back table back there. So the second thing, the basket back there is for the youth fund. So your youth fund offerings, just place in that middle basket. Your other tithes and offerings, just put in the plates back there at the back as you go out. And if you're not able to be here, you can continue to mail them in to Brother Russ. His address is on the website. And God will bless you for your giving. We still are moving forward. We're going to get past all this. So keep that in mind. Next Sunday will be our building fund. Now, unless you've, I know we've all been under a rock somewhere for a while, but unless you've really been under a rock, buried way down. You know that our property is cleared off back here, and we're kind of waiting on some dry weather to get some other stuff done, but we have some upcoming projects. So that's what the building fund is for, and maintenance and whatnot around here, so keep that in mind next Sunday. July the 5th will be our business meeting. That's our annual meeting. It will be election of officers and teachers, so keep that in mind. If you want to do something, let us know. If you don't want to do something that you're already doing, I don't want to hear it. Be here, or you might get elected to something. So that'd be next Sunday night. Any other announcements? Anything I missed?
Turn with me to page number 123. Page 123.
I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, wonderful and bountiful supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God. It makes me glad and happy all the way. Now glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul they satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, oh, wonderful and bountiful supply.
We're done. I was liking that so well, I wanted to sing the last one again.
That's a good song.
Page 106. And we have a treat this morning. We have a special. Brother Lawrence is going to come around and sing for us after this song. Page 106.
Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. saving grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary.
I know what it is. This tie's too tight. Come on up, Brother Lawrence. I still think y'all miscounted.
Y'all pray for me as I try to do this. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul, something happened. This blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me.
Thank you, Lawrence. I appreciate that. And Linda Gale, He did touch us and He made us whole. We studied this morning in our class about Jesus healing the lame and causing the dumb to speak and things like that. But Jesus is still touching lives and making people whole. And that wholeness is a filling of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking for the last few weeks on a series about the church, and I had all of my sermon ready to go and all my notes typed up and all my references run, and I was ready to go yesterday afternoon, and I got up this morning and God changed it. And so the Spirit leads where the Spirit leads, and so I wrote up a hasty sketch, and here we are. Never do we want to be anything other than led by the Spirit of God. And so we just pray that the Spirit would lead where He would have us to go. Not really just changing a lot of subjects, but what I had prepared is not what I'm going to talk about at length today. We're still talking about the church. The church, as we know, was started by Jesus Christ when he was here on this earth. We've talked about that as we went down through. God sent Jesus. Jesus called men, and he said, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they threw down their nets, and they followed him, and he taught them. And they changed this world. They turned it upside down. Just a small group led by Jesus Christ. That's still what we're doing here today, church. Changing lives, following the leadership of Spirit and God. That's our job until Jesus comes back. That's what we're going to keep doing, preaching and teaching the gospel. Before Jesus left, we were given our marching orders, if you will, the Great Commission. He told us in Matthew 28 to go ye therefore and preach and teach and baptize. And that's what we're still doing. Go ye therefore starts here at home, and it moves out from there. And I have no doubt in my mind that God intends for us to spread the gospel, the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ throughout the world. That's what we do through our mission work. That's what we do in supporting those that are on the mission field. That's what we do when we pray and we put feet to our thoughts. And God blesses that action. People throughout the world are being saved and baptized because of the efforts of the church. The message is the same. It's just spread throughout. We talked about our gifts. Some people are gifted with the ability to go into foreign countries and places, even in our nation, that don't have scriptural churches and work hard and diligently and build a local New Testament church where God sends them. It's hard work, friend. Our missionaries, both at home and abroad, need our prayers and our support greatly. But they, when called to this vocation, given a direction and a burden in their heart, are led by the Spirit of God, and what they're doing is powered through God, just like we are. We talked in past sermons on this series about the Holy Spirit, how that when Jesus died on the cross and some 40 days later he ascended up into heaven. A short time after that, on the day of Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit down to indwell those of us who believe and empower the church. The Holy Spirit's still alive and well here in this world today. He's still leading. He's still drawing. He's still convicting. He's still calling men and women to service. The church is still here because the Spirit of God is still here protecting it. Satan has attacked the church throughout the centuries, throughout the years. He would love nothing better than to destroy God's church. Never going to happen because Jesus Christ is protecting us. Church is still here. We're still left with two ordinances. I was going to preach at length about the ordinances this morning, but that's going to be another service or another day. I don't know when. Those two ordinances are this, very simply, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Both of these ordinances are administered under the authority of the local church. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. Case in point, the thief on the cross. Jesus told him, one of them rejected him, one of them accepted him for who he was. And Jesus told him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So he accepted Jesus Christ. He was saved, wholly saved, completely saved. He's in the presence of God right now. The other one, the other thief that rejected, he's in hell right now, still in torment. So you don't have to be baptized to be saved. You do, though, have to be baptized to be a member of a local New Testament church. You don't have to take the Lord's Supper to be saved. But I believe that through taking the Lord's Supper, it gives God pleasure when He sees us remembering His Son Jesus hanging on that cross. That also, I believe, and I believe is scriptural, and we practice here, is to be done through and by and for a local visible assembly of the church here. Not just by anyone, and not administered by any other authority than of the church. Both of these ordinances are not mine. It's not mine as pastor. I don't have the authority as the pastor of this church to just go down on the creek bank and baptize people. That is my privilege through the authority of this church. The Lord's Supper is the same thing. I believe that if you're a born-again believer and a member of a church, that you should prepare yourself and make yourself in such a spiritual manner that you can partake in the Lord's Supper. He said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me, of His broken body and of His shed blood hanging on the cross. Now, I had a lot of scriptures I was going to read about that this morning, and like I say, God changed my heart. This is just a short preparation time, maybe about an hour this morning, so y'all pray for me. I need it. But here we go. As we look around at the condition of the world that we live in today, I think that no matter where you are politically or what part of the nation, if you will just be honest with yourself, you can see that the world that we live in is a mess. I think we can all agree to that. It's evil. This world, the people in it are evil because of the sin. And it's going to get worse the longer that we're left here. Now, I know that people like to hear feel-good sermons and preaching, and that's what I'm fixing to preach to you this morning, but we need to understand that as long as we're here, church, born-again believer, on this earth, it's not going to get better until Jesus comes back. But it doesn't lessen our responsibility, our obligation, but also our privilege of being able to share Jesus Christ. As we look around the world today, even in this great nation, where we have the freedom to assemble and worship God in spirit and in truth, our nation has gone bonkers. I know that's not in the dictionary, probably. I didn't look it up, but some kind of craziness that's going on. People need to realize and understand that we're only here as a nation by the grace of God. And He can take that away from us, too, if we don't give Him the honor and glory He so richly deserves. But by the grace of God, we, and I mean us, the church, are still here and we are still preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified and Him raised from the dead. Praise God that we serve a risen Savior. Because without Jesus Christ coming forth from the grave, we would have absolutely no hope. We're still here. We're still seeing people saved. We're still seeing lives changed because of the preaching of the gospel. Sometimes, at least from where I'm at, and I'm pretty sure from everywhere, if you'll just sit down and think about it, sometimes it seems like that we may just be beating our head against a brick wall. That people seem to be hardened to the message. That it seems like that the world is rejecting the call to salvation. But even further than that, sometimes I think it seems like that people are rejecting the call to service even after salvation. A little bit of frustration. Here's what I know. The results are not up to us. This bringing, the sending, and the delivery of the message, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That, my friend, is up to us. Go ye therefore, preach and teach all things. If you read that whole scripture, the church is still here. We are still here after some 2,000 odd years because God chose preaching of the word to convict men's hearts unto salvation. His word is the way that we humans know that there is a reality in serving a true and living God. When you get a minute, read Ephesians 2:8-10. I just want to paraphrase for just a minute. Then we're going to get to 1 Thessalonians in a minute. But Ephesians 2:8-10 talks about the gift of God. The gift of God. I think that we need to understand that salvation truly is a gift of God. We are saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ, His Son. Church, we have the privilege of telling the world that God so loved this world that He sent His only begotten Son. And through Jesus Christ and His shed blood, we are given a gift, and that gift is payment for our sins. This salvation we talk about is being saved from the penalty of sin. The book tells us, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us are worthy except through the blood of Jesus by the grace of God. We have the privilege of standing before people. We meet here in this church via YouTube, Facebook, however we get out there, and telling them that we still serve the true and living God. God is still in control of all of our destiny. God is still in control of all of the issues that we face in this world. God is still in control of all of the issues in our nation. Well, then the question oftentimes is, well, why would God allow this to happen? I want you to know that if you read the prophecies in the book, that I believe that you will understand that these things have to come to pass before Jesus can come back, before God's going to send Him back. I believe in my heart, with the very essence of my being, that the second coming of Christ could be close, very close. That means a couple of things. I think, first of all, it's probably going to get worse before it gets better, because Satan knows his time is short as well as I do. Oh, he don't know the day nor the hour, and neither do I. But he can read the signs. He's read the book. He knows the prophecy. And if we read and study, we see that everything is lining up for Jesus to come bursting through, calling us all to be home. How long do we have here? I don't know. I believe it could be any day. I believe He could come back today. All we're waiting on is God to tell Jesus, go bring my children home. That focuses our attention, church. It should focus our attention that we need to be preaching and teaching that the only hope that you have in this world is through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. I could stand up here and I could tell you everything's going to be better tomorrow and good. Happy, happy, and all that stuff. True joy only comes from receiving Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I want you to know this morning, I stand before you with joy in my heart, not because of the condition of the world, but because I know who has given me freedom and hope, purpose, and has control of my eternal destiny. His name is Jesus Christ. That's the only true joy and happiness you'll find in this life. In Job, we're studying in Job on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and I'm enjoying the studying, but in Job it says very plainly that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. This old life that we live here is a struggle. Things happen to people that we don't understand, and some die and some live, and life goes on. And Jesus Christ is still coming back. That's why it's so vitally important that we tell people that Jesus saves, and Jesus saves completely. That's what we have the privilege of telling people. That's why the church is still here. We have a message, and that message is hope. And being able to tell that message in and of itself is a true blessing from God. If you've ever had the privilege of sitting down and leading someone to salvation through Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, friend. There is nothing in this life that will give you more joy than that. Because their eternal destination is changed and it's sealed. Being able to tell people how great God is and what He has in store for us is a blessing. And it should get us out of bed with a smile on our face, and even when times are tough. Because without us, without the church, without the preaching and the teaching of the Word, the world truly does have no hope. So why do we get out of bed with a smile on our face? Why do we look at this life as a blessing, even in hard times? It's because we know, believer, that we're not bound to an existence in this situation. Everything that we're going on through here now on this earth, the riots, the turmoil, the political, whatever you want to call it, mess, the coronavirus, cancer, the AIDS, the heart attacks, all the things that we are going through here and we face is not what's going to affect us when Jesus comes back. We have hope. We have an eternal hope. We're not bound for this. We are bound. We are looking forward to. We have a hope in a bodily resurrection. When Jesus Christ comes in the air and He calls us up to be with Him, we're given that new body. That new body that can walk into the very presence of God, that can talk and communicate directly with God, just like I'm speaking to you. That union with our new bodies will last forever. What a glorious day that's going to be. Church, we're here to tell people that there's a brighter day coming. And that brighter day is coming for those who accept Jesus Christ. I love this scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. We've heard this scripture preached and read many times at funeral services, and I think that we need to be constantly reminded of this. Verse 13, but I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Listen to me, friend. We've all had loved ones who've gone on to be with the Lord. Don't sorrow for them. Be happy if you know that they knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because they are in peace and harmony in the presence of God. We shouldn't sorrow for them because we have hope, unlike those who don't know Jesus. Here's why. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. I want you to know something, my friend. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. 3 days later, he arose from the grave for me. And he went to prepare a place for me. I believe my place is ready. I believe he's waiting on God. We have hope. Do we believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again? That is the gospel. Listen, you can know that there is a God. You can even know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But if you don't believe on him and what he did, you can't be saved. You have to make the conscious decision to accept what Jesus did. I believe that Jesus is coming back for me one of these days. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Read the book. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those of our loved ones who have went on to be with the Lord are going to rise from the grave. Those old graves are going to burst open. And they're going to be given their glorified body on their little short travel up to heaven to where Jesus is. But during that, shortly after that, in verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, this old body that has to worry about coronavirus, this old body that's plagued with aging and sin, is going to be changed. Listen, church, Jesus Christ is coming back for us. He's going to take us up to be with him. And here's what I want us to know. God loves everyone. But God will only accept you into his presence when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the reason that the church is still here. The church is still here to tell the world, by any means possible, that Jesus saves completely. The church is still here so that we can stand before them and tell them that my Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is coming back for us who have believed. Could be soon. Could be today. I don't really see anything in the prophecies that's keeping Jesus from coming back now. This old world is in such a state that I can't imagine that God's not sick of it. But here's what I know. We serve a long-suffering, loving, caring, forgiving God. Church, we're here to tell people in their hardest times, in their times of trial, that you too can have peace and assurance through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You too can have a body that don't have to worry about all the diseases that sin causes in this world. You too can have a body that can walk and talk and spend all eternity with God. As I was preparing my other sermon that I'm not preaching this morning, I can't help but think about part of what I prepared for, and it was this, is that men and women, humans, struggle through this life to gain many things, power, recognition, honor, riches. But here's what I know. Struggle as we may, we can never satisfy the longing within ourselves through the things of this world. It only comes through Jesus Christ. But here's what I also know, that when we come in the presence of God, and when we are called up and we're given that new glorified body, and I see the description of this great new city that's coming down, the very things that men long for, the things that men work their whole lives for and many never see, riches, gold, silver. It's nothing but pavement when we get to the city where God lives. We walk on the streets of gold. The very foundations are precious gems and rubies. The gates of the city are one big solid pearl. The things that we, man, long for, search for, spend our lives for is freely given to us by God when we come into the presence in our new body. I look forward to that day, my friend, when I can walk and talk with God, when I can sit down at the feet of Jesus, and when I can listen, and when I can talk, and when I can just be close to where God is. In the eternal place that God has in store for us, a new heaven, a new earth, we have our new bodies. We're going to be able to enjoy the presence of God like Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden before sin. If that don't make a smile on your face, friend, you better check your pulse. Because we have something that this world needs, and that's hope in a risen Savior. Church, there's going to be a big feast when Jesus Christ calls us up to be with Him. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there's going to be a big feast, and everybody's going to be there. God will be there. Jesus will be there. The Holy Spirit will be there. That'll be the only time to that point that you and I will be able to see God complete, all in one. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit at the marriage supper. None of the problems of this world will exist for us anymore or ever again. We're going to be able to sit down and partake in the food with Jesus Christ. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper, Jesus took it with His disciples right before He was crucified, and He said He wouldn't eat or drink of that again until He came together with us. At this time at the marriage feast, we're going to get to sit down with Jesus Christ, and we're going to get to break bread with Him again, and we're going to get to enjoy a life to the fullest. I long for that day. I look forward to that day. Listen, church, we, I believe, have great things in our future here on this earth. God is not finished with us. Well, how do you know that, preacher? Times are tough. People don't want to come to church. Here's how I know it. He hadn't sent Jesus back to get us yet. And so He's left us here so that we continue to preach, teach the gospel. Great things in our future. How do you measure success? I measure success one soul at a time. If we only see one more person saved between now and when Jesus Christ comes back, it's a victory over Satan and the evil in this world. Only through the power of God. We serve a mighty God. We serve a living God. We serve a God who is able to lift us out of this very depths of despair that we're living in now. We serve a God who wants to be with you, who wants to walk with you, who wants the very best for you. I can't even imagine this new city, but one of these days I'm going to get to actually walk on the streets of pure gold, translucent, no impurities whatsoever. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. This is but just a part of the greatness of God. He delivers us from hell. He delivers us from what we truly deserve by His gift of Jesus Christ. Then He gives us everything that our hearts desire. Everything that we can imagine that would be good for us, God freely gives us when we accept Jesus Christ. And most importantly, I believe that the best gift of all is the knowledge in my mind and in my heart that I am going to get to spend eternity. That's time without end, friend, in the presence of God. What a glorious day that'll be. This life is hard, but my God is sufficient to see me through. My God is sufficient to carry me through to the end. Lean on Him. Lean on God. Jesus tells us, "Come unto me, all you that labor, and I will give you rest." This applies to our struggle through this life, but it also applies to our eternal destiny. Because you can't work enough, you can't put back enough money, you cannot do enough to save yourself. Jesus has already done that, and it lasts forever. Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again. Nicodemus, in his mind, his physical thoughts, said, "How can a man enter into his mother's womb again when he's grown and be born again?" And Jesus told him, "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit." You see, we've been born of the flesh. That's this old body. That's this body that we can feel, touch, see. But we have to be born of the Spirit before we can actually be in the presence of God, saved by His grace through His gift. Whosoever, that means everyone, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm proud to stand before you this morning and proclaim that I am a whosoever by the grace of God. Jesus has our reward ready. He's bringing it with Him when He comes, and we will get to be in His presence for all of eternity. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Oh, I don't mean, it's like I said a while ago, I don't mean do you know that there is a Jesus. I mean, do you know Jesus? Have you invited Him into your life? Have you asked Him to save your soul? Only you and He know the truth of that question, the answer to it. Maybe you walked the aisle in the past. I know that many have, and years gone by, and didn't truly just get it right. Here's another opportunity for you. Search your heart. Search your soul. Do you know Jesus? I can tell you of my own witness, my own experience, that I was saved at a very young age, at the age of 8. I've been saved for a long time. During that walk, I've strayed from the path. I've done things that I'm not proud of. I've not walked where God wanted me to walk. But I can stand before you and say unequivocally that I never, ever, while walking out of the path or the God had for me, was not convicted that I was not where He wanted me to be. That still small voice, that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, was constantly convicting me that I needed to be back where God wanted me. If you're here this morning, maybe you've been baptized, maybe you've walked the aisle, but you don't have that. You don't have that draw. Maybe you're not in church. Maybe you're not walking like you should be, and you know it. But you're not really feeling that draw. Maybe you need to examine your salvation experience. It's not too late. Jesus is still in the business of saving souls. No matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, whether you're here in this sanctuary, whether you're listening on the airways, Jesus is still in the business of saving souls. Like the thief on the cross that accepted Jesus Christ and that day went into paradise with Jesus Himself, you don't have to be in this sanctuary to be saved. You can be saved right where you're at. All you have to do is trust and believe, call upon the name of the Lord. Here's what I know, though, as well. That even though that you can be saved wherever you're at, God's plan is that His people, His born-again people, would come together as a church body and spread the word. Together, we can do a lot more than we can independent. Together, we can change the world. Together. Together, we can share the gospel. Come be a part of this church family, friend. If you're out there this morning and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let us know. Come see us. Drop us a line. We want to know so we can pray for you, so that we can reach out to you. We want you to be a part of this congregation. Come be a part of this church family and help us spread the gospel to a lost and dying world. This church on this little hill, it's a part of God Himself here on this earth. He left us here for a purpose, His honor and glory. Right now, wherever you are, trust Jesus Christ. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. He will save you. Even as we speak. If you're here with us this morning, in just a moment or two, we're going to give you the opportunity to come forth and accept Jesus. If you're sheltered away from all of this that's going on and can't get here, you can accept Jesus Christ right where you're at today. All you have to do is trust and believe. Say this simple little prayer. God, I know that I'm a sinner. Save my soul. I claim the blood of Jesus. Jesus, save me. If you're doing that right now, drop us an email, oakhillmissionarybaptist@gmail.com. Let us know. We're going to have a word of prayer. If you would, stand with me as our song leader and our pianist come. Father, as we come to you at this time, Lord, we are thankful for the opportunity to once again stand in your house, proclaim Jesus Christ and Him raised from the dead. Lord, we claim the promises in the book. Lord, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, whoever's hearing this message, I pray the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit would convict that they might know that there's peace and harmony and contentment when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Oh, the trials of this life go on, but when we know that we are partakers of the eternal destiny of God, peace and harmony rules and reigns in our life. Your will, Lord, be done in each and every life. I ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Page 183.
I can hear my Savior.
Can you hear that still little small voice?
I can hear my Savior.
He won't drag you down the aisle. He won't force you to your knees. But He'll draw you. He'll call you. He'll lead you. Listen to the words of the song. Where He leads, I'll follow Him. He's leading you to salvation. All you have to do is take the first step. He'll take you the rest of the way. Maybe He's calling you to preach or teach. He won't lead you anywhere He won't take you.